I'm having computer problems, so you know.
Sorry?
Thanks. The recordings are started. Please go ahead.
Lovely. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening to everyone. On today's JAS call on Tuesday, the 19th of April, we have Rafik Damak, Cheryl Langdon-Orr, Tijani Benjema, Sintra Suknanan, Carlos Aguirre, John Rahman, we have Dev Anand Tilukthing, Alan Greenberg. From staff, we have Carla Valente, Glenda Saint-Géry, and myself, Gisela Gruber-White. Apologies today noted from Alain Béranger, Evan Leibovich, who is on Adobe Connect but not on the voice on the bridge, Carlton Samuels, Alex Gakuru, Olivier Crépin-Leblon, and Boudouin Chombé. If I can please remind everyone to state their names when speaking. This is for transcript purposes. And also a few of you, if you could just speak up a little louder when you speak because of the bad lines. Thank you very much. Over to you, Rafik.
Thank you, Gisela. Thank you for everybody for joining today's call. First, let's agree about the agenda. If there is any objection to the agenda that you can see in the Adobe Connect. Okay, we can move to the next item, which is about that we will focus on the GIS issues and recommendation, and you have a link to the to that document in the wiki. For that part, we had a team formed by Ivan, Android, and Sintra, which tried to edit and to include the comments. Last time we tried to make some comments. In the last call we tried to make some comments, but we didn't progress so much. I hope that today we will focus only on the content and avoid really any discussion about the process. For that, I think Sintra can lead this item and to introduce it to the members, and then we can discuss about it. Sintra, are you on the call?
Yes, I am.
Hello.
Thank you,
Rafik. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, who was talking? Okay, I am hearing Sintra, but who was talking? Okay, Sintra, please, you
Do
can
you hear
take
me?
The floor now. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, thank you. All right. Okay, let me just ask. I think most of the comments were incorporated on the wiki, with the exception of Tijani's, which was sent in early this morning. Well, today, and Carlton. Is there any other comments with regard to part one and part two specifically at this point? I don't know if we can scroll down on the document in Adobe Connect.
Okay.
Sorry, Sintra, it's Gisela. You should be able to scroll down on the document now if you can just check. And Andrew Mack
yes.
has joined the call. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
All right. So with regard to part one, I will also copy the link to the wiki in chat. Okay, but Dev beat me to it. Are there any comments on part one and part two?
I raised my hand.
Oh, yes, Tijani. Please go ahead.
Thank you. So before beginning discussing the text, I have a general comment. I don't think we should repeat what was said in the milestone report. I am in favor of drafting a text that addresses the issues of our new charter only. If we decide now to do it like it is done now, we have to repeat exactly what was said in the Maestro report so that there will not be any confusion. But I do prefer that we draft only what is related to the new charter only. That's my general comment.
Okay, thank you, Tijani. I had raised that point with Evan, and he told me that the purpose of going through it this way was really to refocus the group and everyone else as well, the community, on what was stated in the milestone report. But I do agree that there seems to be a bit of divergence between the specific terms that were used in the milestone report and what is here. So maybe the thing is that we keep those terms that were in the milestone report, but build on it so that, you know, we can all be refreshed as well as to what was in the milestone report and where we need to go to a more granular level in the process. Is that okay? Please go ahead, Chidiani.
Okay. The question is if we need or if we want to draft a new report, a single report that will be submitted. That means that this report will delay the milestone report. Is it the intention?
When you say delay, you mean, is it that you mean encompass? Because I think what we're trying to do is we're trying to pull the important points from the milestone report that we can rely on in showing the community how we've come across to these criteria and these steps for the process. Tijani, do you want to say anything further? Or?
No, for now it's okay.
Okay, Alan, please.
Yeah, I tend to agree with Tijani that the report should be focusing on what our current charter is. However, to the extent that there are things in the original report which we believe were accepted as premises into this current work, they can be restated quickly, not as conclusions of this working group, but essentially at this point as premises.
Okay.
If there was something in the original report which has been rejected, I don't remember, but, you know, then clearly we don't want to reiterate it. If it's part of the premise that this work is based on, then it should be stated, but stated concisely at the beginning to make it clear, you know, what the origins of it is. Thank you.
Okay, fine. Are there any other comments on part one or two or generally? Okay. In that instance, I will go to part three. And I know Carlton made a comment about this bit on the wiki page, and he said, there are two must-have attributes that will allow any applicant to pass or crowd the bar. Firstly, they must belong to some group defined in 3.3, 3.4, 3.5, plus be judged as per 3.1. These are of equal weight, but the group status must decide highest priority.
Sandra?
Yes, please go ahead, Tijani.
Okay, as for part three, there is a classification 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 that doesn't exist in the milestone report. And that is doesn't seem for me very comfortable. I do prefer to stick to what was done in the milestone report. Otherwise, we will discuss again what was discussed before. So I don't think it is a good thing. I recognize 1, 2, I recognize also four, perhaps, but I don't recognize three. You understand?
Yes, I do.
Then, that's a problem for me. So I do prefer not to. If we want to introduce, if you want the criteria, etc. So we don't have to add complication. We try to make it easier, not more complicated.
Okay. Tijani, let me just say, three really encapsulates two bullets that you had in the milestone report. The first was community-based applications, and you said community groups such as cultural, linguistic, and ethnic groups may be eligible to receive support. And the second bullet being non-governmental organizations, NGOs, civil society, and not-for-profit organizations. And I agree with you that we should stick with the wording that is specifically in the milestone report for the areas that we are pulling from the milestone report. So that is something that we will have to clean up. Let's see if there's anybody else. Andrew, you wanted to say something?
Sure, Sandra. pardon my voice. I've lost it a little bit, so everyone should be happy. The number three, I think, I get the idea why we have number three. I'm not sure that the focus on, for example, community applications necessarily gets us the same idea. However, I guess I agree with Tijani in that coming up with some sort of a the need of the community may be a difficult metric to put together. I was under the impression from our earlier conversations that some sort of a focus on explaining the purpose of the application was going to be part of the whole application process. So maybe that's what you're trying to get at. I'm just trying to see if we can't clarify that, because I understand where Tijani is coming from.
Okay.
That makes sense?
Yes. Your hand is up still, or?
Central okay. Traffic.
Traffic.
Yeah, so my understanding is this part is about the criteria that we need to develop. And we didn't, how to say, it's an extension of what we did in the milestone report. So I don't see any problem to have them now in that part, like to the financial need or the need the community to be served by the proposed TLD. I don't see the problem for those criteria.
Okay, fine. No, all we're agreeing to is the fact that, you know, we do need to use the same language as in the milestone report, just to build on it. With the specific regard to financial need, we had slotted in a minimum gross income, a maximum gross income, as well as there was a note in the milestone report that any applicant considered needy must be able to raise 50% of the reduced application fee, DAG application fee. So basically, at this point in time, I just wonder if we could comment on what we've put in here as the minimum gross amount. Three times the operational and contingent risk costs is what is built into the DAG as being necessary for applicants as their, I guess, their contingency fee fund that they must always hold. I don't know if this is too large a figure, if we want to suggest instead that we have a lower bar, or what's the case? Please, Tijani, go ahead.
Yes, thank you. For the minimum gross income, it's 3 years operation cost. And I don't think that an applicant that have in hand 3 years application cost will apply for any support. And yet you take it as a minimum gross income. As for the maximum, I think it's too high. too high. It's I calculated it. It's $925,000. Does a needy applicant can a needy applicant have this amount at the entry of the process? Huh? It is at the entry of the process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, there's something we'll have to work with. Tijani, would
yes.
you like to suggest any alternative figures?
Yes. Yes. I would like to suggest only 1 year of operation for as a minimum.
Mm-hmm.
And for the maximum, I don't know. I don't have any idea. I think 185 it's enough.
I had suggested 2 times 185. But if I don't know if 185 you think is enough. I suppose the group will have to decide that as well, you know.
That's right. Andrew
okay.
is asking for the floor.
Yes, Andrew, please go ahead. Sorry.
Not a problem.
Yeah.
Yes, not a problem. Sintra, Tijani, and group, I guess my question is this. I see there being two different types of potential applicants, if you will. One is a group of people, whether they're a new entity or a coalition or whatever, that gets together for the purpose of launching one of these GTLDs, right? And in a situation like that, then having the minimum amount that Tijani suggests might be appropriate, but I don't know. In the case of an existing group that has other activities, but that has decided to do this as part of its activities, there may be a real problem if we set a really low top cap. Because it would assume that this is the only activity that the organization is doing, and that may or may not be an accurate assumption. So I wonder how much flexibility we could have in that, and whether it would be possible, instead of having a specific cap on the organization as a whole, maybe it would be possible to do it related to this activity. I'm not sure if I'm explaining that very well, but I can see, for example, an NGO or a community group that says we already do, you know, A and B and C and D in terms of our, you know, cultural outreach or in terms of our providing service to the community or things like that. Those things would not necessarily make this less deserving as an activity. Does that make sense to everyone?
Hmm.
Not trying to complicate things. I'm just trying to acknowledge the reality is that there are going to be some organizations, and we may want them to be applying, right? That have other things going on, that have long roots in the community, that have back office and skills in areas that are contiguous to this.
Are there any comments on that from the group? Alan, I think I saw you. Yeah, please go ahead, Alan.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, if we put an absolute cap on the resources the organization has, regardless of what they're currently using them for and what their other, you know, other parts of the application are, we're saying we only want, you know, groups that are crippled to begin with and something that's really viable in its own right and will continue, you know, shouldn't apply. And I'm not quite sure that's something that's correct. I grant, however, without the cap, the criteria makes it is more difficult. But I think that's just the kind of applicant we may well want. So
mm-hmm.
I think we have to factor that in. I had one other comment in a previous comment. Tijani said something about, you know, 1 year instead of three for continuance funding. I don't agree with that. I think 3 years is a reasonable amount. However, 3 years of minimal base running to maintain the existence of the TLD and resolution of the TLD, not necessarily the steady-state costs when they were still deemed to be successful and growing. And we talked about that a lot earlier, but I don't see it actually in the recommendations unless I'm missing the wording somewhere. So I think the 3 years is not unreasonable, but 3 years of what we need to be specifying. Thank you.
Okay. Are there any comments with regard to the 50%?
Yes.
Go ahead, Tijani, please.
Alan, what is the? Can you give an amount? How many dollars? It will be 1 year of minimum operation.
I don't know. Eric has did a lot of work earlier on that, and I'm not a registry expert. But it costs an awful lot less to simply maintain resolution and keep things functioning if you're not, you know, trying to grow your market or even collect revenue, collect ongoing fees. If the registry is deemed to have ceased existence, it's a special purpose one, and the people who wanted to do it don't exist or say they can't make a going concern of it, then I don't think we should be trying to find, you know, keeping it alive in its normal form and trying to find another owner, as ICANN intends to do for commercial or commercially oriented TLDs. So I don't know what the absolute number is. I suspect Eric has come up with numbers, but I, you know, they're not things I have at my fingertips. But it's a very different operation than the kind of thing that is envisioned in the applicant guidebook right now. And I thought there was universal agreement with that, but maybe I'm wrong.
Okay. Any further comments to Alan? Andrew, please go ahead.
Thank you, Cynthia. A suggestion, in the interest of trying to get us moving forward, if this is an area where there are some good, legitimate arguments on both sides and where there are some new facts that we need to try to narrow down, can I suggest that we put a bookmark in this particular space about the exact number and see if move on and see if there are other things that we'd like to get done? I just I know everybody wants to pick up the pace, and I think that this is a good thing that we need to get back to, but that we on this call we probably don't have a final answer. So maybe bookmark it and move on.
Okay, I agree with that. I see Tijani is also in agreement. Just one thing before we move away from financial need. I've just copied in the milestone report, there was, I mentioned it before, the need, well, the requirement that the needy applicant must not benefit more than 50% of the reduced fee from us. Are we still in agreement with this? Well, I suppose it's something we'll have to get consensus on, just to ensure.
Is there anyone who disagrees on this call?
Okay, great. All right, so let's move on. Right, I know, Tijani, you had mentioned the fact that we're not using the specific language to these other requirements. Let me just go to, corporate structure and mission. Are there any specific requirements to corporate structure and mission?
What section number is that?
This is 3.2.
Thank
now,
you.
The way this is structured is, in my opinion, it needs to be modified a little bit. I think what, in the way that it was set out in the milestone report, was that there are two, well, as Carlson had stated in his comments, there are two requirements. They need to be offered support based on specific guidelines, which are community-based applications, NGOs located in developing economies, scripts with limited web presence, etc., right? And then you have the financial check. So based on those two things tying in, we would know who the needy applicants are. So there's a social aspect as well as a financial requirement. But the way this is stated here is a bit hierarchical. So it doesn't exactly read that way. Johnny, please go ahead.
Sintra?
Yes, carry on. Hello, Tijani.
Yes, I have the floor.
Yes, you do.
Okay, thank you. So, for the four bullet points that you put the working group is in broad or full agreement in enabling applicants from the following. The fourth one, I don't recognize it. I don't see where we had the agreement and where it is written. I don't know it. Companies primary owned by members of the community to be served.
Right. I think that came out of joint ventures that may have been different companies coming together, but the majority of the company or the majority of the work being done should have been in that the community being served. Andrew, you want to say something on that?
Sure. Thank you. Tijani, you're right. This is technically not something that was in the milestone report, but I think it's something that is suggested by it. When we had the initial language around local entrepreneurs, well, two things, just to go back. I think everybody was generally in agreement. I think I can say this, that everybody was generally in agreement that the legal or juridical structure of the applicant was not a major criteria. And the reason in part why was because we don't know who's going to apply. We don't know what combinations of people may come together to apply. And that the whole idea of what constitutes an NGO, what constitutes a business or different versions of a partnership in different jurisdictions is a pretty big issue. It varies from place to place, right? So what we wanted to do was to leave this as open as possible to include people as widely as we can, with the exception of the exclude list, which we had from the milestone report. I think that the way I read number five, the companies primarily owned by members of the community to be served, is a different way of saying local entrepreneurs, but to broaden that ever so slightly to say entrepreneur to me suggests a small company, a very small company. And in fact, a company owned and working in the community might be slightly larger. But I think the important thing that we agreed on, that I took from it, was that the legal structure is less important, and the fact that they are trying to do something in this community is more important. That didn't come out right, but I think you know what I mean.
Okay, I've just copied the bits that are in the milestone report, right, that deal with this section. The second comment I have, which goes each application requesting such support, that was something that was really written in terms of IDN scripts. But I think it may be applicable here that if we do want to open the floodgates, so to speak, for these kind of companies, that they do have some level of community support. Tijani, you want to say something?
Yes, Sintra. It is a problem here because it is not a criteria. It wasn't a category of applicants that we defined. It was one condition put together with the IDN support. It is specific to the IDN support.
Mm-hmm.
But here, if we read it like this, that means that any company which is owned by members of the community can apply. And it is a problem for me. So, second point. I said from the beginning that we don't have to modify the milestone report unless it is it comes from a comment, a public comment, and that we agree on this change. But now we are changing the milestone report. We are introducing new categories, and I don't agree with that.
Okay, Andrew, you want to say something?
Yeah, so Johnny, I'm two things. Number one is that we have done a lot of work since the milestone report. So just on the face of it, I don't think that we should be afraid to include the additional work that we have been that we have done. My reading of this last category is that this is an attempt to clarify the potential private sector or company or entrepreneurial applicant. And if that's not clear, let's come up with a clearer definition. I don't think it's something that is outside of what we discussed initially, though, Tajani. Honestly, I don't. I just think it maybe doesn't connect in clearly enough with what you think of number four. So let's just work on that.
Johnny, would you like to respond?
I don't want to say anything. I have a big problem because I am feeling that we are discussing again the milestone report, and it is not our mission now. We don't have time to do that. So if we want to use some parts of the milestone report here to introduce the criteria, the matrix that we want to set, it is good. All our mission here is about mechanisms, about criteria, about metrics, not about defining new criteria, new categories, or who will define again who will get support. We did it. We did it in the milestone report. We don't have to repeat it. We can recall it, but we don't have to repeat and to change and to add.
Okay. Fair enough. Thank you. Alan?
I generally support what Tijani said. My only caveat is if in trying to address the issues in our current charter, we find out that we really should have changed, we should have done something differently in the initial report, then we should identify that and point it out as a change, but a change which we feel is mandatory now. I think we need to do our best to not go back and tweak things and just make changes because it's a little bit better. If there are things that we really, in our current wisdom, should have done in the milestone report and we neglected to, then fine, we have to correct them and identify it as such. But we shouldn't be revisiting just for the sake of revisiting unless something has become, was thrown up in our face as clearly something we missed in the original one. So to the extent possible, we should be addressing the current new issues. If we have to make changes, then identify it as such, not just slip it in and not mention it.
Okay. Alan, how do you feel about this specific point? Do you think it should be left in or taken out?
I don't have a really strong point on it, or a really strong feeling on it.
Okay.
Other people have been working on the real substance and how viable our recommendations are, and are they reasonably encompassing or not. And I'm not the expert on that in this case. I haven't put enough energy into this. I've got I'm working on other things. But
okay,
I think as a principle, we should try to keep to a minimum changes just for the sake of change.
Okay. So what I've been hearing is your suggestion that we go back to the language of the milestone report, and wherever we deviate, we explain why we've deviated.
If there is something that really needs to be adjusted in the group, and the group believes that, then so be it. We don't want to ignore something that's important.
Okay, fine.
But, try to constrain ourselves.
All right. Andrew?
One quick suggestion that I think wasn't included initially in the milestone report, but I think everyone seems to agree on, is that there will almost certainly be some sort of There will certainly be some sort of partnership or groups coming together, coalitions, to make application. And one of the things that we had in on the wiki was the idea of being having an acceptable category being some sort of combination of other acceptable entities, right? So an NGO plus a private sector company, or you know, community organization plus an NGO, or things like that. That's not on our bullets, and I think that should be on our bullets, given that we've already discussed it at length. Everyone seems okay with the idea.
Okay. Are there any other comments with regard to that point, having
yes.
that included?
Yes.
Tijani, please go ahead.
Yes, thank you. So thank you, Adlan, for your comment. I really appreciate what you said. If we have to change something from the milestone report, it will be a specific thing that we have to highlight it, and we have to discuss it, and we have to agree on it. Because the milestone report have been submitted, and we will not look very, very, very wise or very serious if we change it now and send other thing. We have to stick to it, unless there is a big barrier to our work now, and then we have to change something to be able to establish the mechanisms, the metrics, the items mentioned in our charter, in our new charter. Thank you.
Okay, agreed. The only thing I want to raise here is the issue of governments. We had initially taken out, we had said governments were not going to receive any kind of funding, but we had put in wording here. I think we were looking at the fact that they may be able to get funding based on what was stated with the GAC meeting, the request from that GAC working group. Do we have any strong feelings for or against that, Tijani?
Yes, thank you. Again, here also it's a change in the milestone report, if we want to change it. And
mm-hmm.
If we will change it, it will be according to the comment received from the GAC. And we have to have a real agreement on it. What I proposed in earlier time, that we don't touch the categories that have to be supported. We will change only the categories that haven't to be supported, the exclusion. And in the exclusion, we can put a nuance, if you want, according to what the GAC will provide us, because we asked them to provide us with their views, and they didn't do anything like so far. Thank you.
Right. Okay. Are there any further comments on that point? No? Okay. At this point, Rafiq, can you just tell me?
Sorry, Sandra. This is Andrew. Can I just jump back? I didn't get my hand up in time.
Go ahead, Andrew.
There's a question about two to Johnny's point. There's a question about where we are with the GAC and what we're expecting by when from them. And there was some question as to whether or not they were going to get back to us or we were going to get back to them. And I wanted to know, maybe this is where you were going to hand it to Rafiq, but I'd love to know where we are with that. If they're expecting something from us, I think it would be wise for us to say exactly what we are hoping to get back from them so that we don't give them the impression that we'd like their approval or their that they need to review all of the work that we're doing, but that we're very specifically focused on the government issue. Make sense?
Yes. I just want to ask Rafiq if it's okay for me to just go over by 5 minutes on this item of the agenda. Rafiq, is that okay?
Okay, no problem. Just
right, because I know you have other items to discuss as well.
Okay, it's just that the second document, the second item is about to set the
criteria.
I think we are still in the criteria. Okay, so you can. I think it's overlapping items anyway. Okay, go.
Okay, no problem.
Yeah.
Thank
yeah,
you.
Please.
All right. Coming back to Andrew's point, Tijani, if you don't mind just holding for one moment. I posted in the chat my draft wording for that bit, right? So I don't know. It was not in the wiki page, but if we could just have a read on it. This is my understanding of where we are right now. Basically, the GAC will take a look at our criteria, and then they will give us recommendations sort of how or if a government entity can fit into our criteria or how our criteria may be tweaked for their purpose to allow developing countries to apply. Andrew, you want to say something?
I'm sorry, my hand was up from left.
Okay, Tijani.
Yes, have you finished with section 3?
3.2, or communities needing to preserve language? No.
Yes.
What I wanted to do is I just wanted to raise that government point because it's here in 3.2. The working group was also explicit regarding organizations that should not be eligible. So I just wanted to close off on that bit and then move to 3.3, if it's okay. Yes? I don't know if there are any comments with regard to the message that I have posted here. Andrew, I know you had the concern about where we're at right now with the GAC. Does this fulfill that query?
Right. My only concern, Sintra, is that I think that there's a chance that if we ask, first of all, I want to make sure that if we owe them something, that we get them something, and if they owe us something, that we know when it's coming. But more importantly, that this doesn't slow us down, and that there's not a sense that they are overseeing our work, but rather just contributing into it. There has been some pretty strong pushback against the idea of including government, and I think that Elaine and others have made it clear that before we would approve that, we would want to have a long conversation about it amongst the group. Is that the way everybody else remembers it? Because that's the way I remember it from our earlier conversation. Hello?
Comments,
yes,
from our group with regard to their...
Comments from the group specifically relating to whether or not to include government application. In the milestone report, we rejected the idea of having government application. GAC comes to us and asks us to consider including them, and then the question is, at one point in time, I was thinking that the GAC was going to come back to us with a request, a more detailed request of what that would look like, almost like a proposal. And then there's some question as to whether or not they are to come to us and give us that information, or whether they're going to look at what we put forward and then add to it. I just wasn't sure where we were with that.
I think they are going to look at our criteria and then add to it and see how they can refine it, if they can, to developing countries. That's the impression that I had. Alan, please go ahead.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to get anything from the GAC at this point other than what they've published in conjunction with their discussions, negotiations with the board. So to the extent there is something there, we can use it. To the extent it isn't there, I don't think we can expect anything, certainly not prior to coming out of Singapore. Thank you.
Okay. Cheryl?
Thank you, Sintra. Cheryl, for the record, yes, certainly echoing what Alan has just said, I was concerned about the timing issue. To the particulars of your text, Sintra, I'm comfortable with as long the lines that we've been discussing up until the last sentence then, and it goes to some extent what Andrew's been raising.
Mm-hmm.
I think the practicality of it is that the GAC working group, whether it's offered to or not, is not going to get that loop closed, even if we were to send them the JAS criteria in a timely manner, which at this point in the proceedings we have not. So I think we need to certainly propose deleting that last sentence and dealing with the timing issue in another way. Just back to the pushback that Andrew was referring to, of course not all of us were totally on the anti-government bandwagon, but it was not a view that was of sufficient, I guess, influence when we put our consensus on this matter for the milestone report. I think raising this fits with the points Tijani and others have made in this call. I would treat this as a piece of reaction and requirement to consider additional change because it has come in a similar manner to what we would have expected to public comment to the milestone report, so I'm happy to put it on the agenda. I think we particularly had the opportunity to suggest that, for example, in the consortium model, which is also being put forward for consideration in the criteria, that this is one of those opportunities where a type of government, remember we were not just talking very specifically in San Francisco, we were definitely not referring to government in terms of simply a national, in fact very unlikely to be national or federal entity, but far more likely to be a regional, sub-regional or local, or even at the level of a community or cross-community entity, which in the definition of the particular developing nation was still a governmental organisation. So we were talking about municipal and local government entities. There are a number of existing examples in not GTLDs, but certainly in CCTLD policy, where a governmental entity, most frequently at a local or municipal level, does not qualify to be in the non-gov space or non-education space in its own right, that can be a part of a consortia or a group of interested parties that put together opportunity for community-driven and or community-managed and owned namespace interests. And it's happened on a number of occasions where geographic names are permitted within country. And I think if we work from that type of precedent and use that at this stage, at least as an example of the type of way that a particularly local or municipal governmental interest from a developing economy that was meeting a particular community need for a GTLD might make it into this list, then we would be heading in the right direction. Now, if that was what was agreed to, I think that type of text could be sent as an advanced copy by the co-chairs of the JAS work group to the GAC representative whose name suddenly escapes me, that came to the meeting in San Francisco. I think part of our problem is that we were expecting to have more GAC input in the actual JAS work group meetings, and we haven't had that. Thank you for indulging me for a very long intervention.
Thank you, Cheryl. Okay, so I suppose that was really in as well for Rafiq and they on our way forward with the GAC and those recommendations. I just want to move on, see if we can get through 3.3, communities needing to preserve language or culture. Let's see how accurate that is.
Yes.
Sorry, Tijani, please go ahead.
Thank you. 3.3, I don't see why it is here. Because it was said already. We said in 3.2, the first paragraph, that linguistic and linguistic communities that pass the need criteria are eligible. So why do we develop this whole paragraph for this particular category? I don't understand. If it is for emphasis, I don't like it, because we are not prioritizing a category than another.
Okay. I think we should, what I'll do is I'm just going to copy the specific language that was used in the milestone report, and maybe we can just refer to that. If the problem is just a matter of freezing, we don't necessarily need to use this example. So I've just pasted that, community-based applications. Are there any other comments on this section? I do have to apologize for the noise outside as well.
A little bit of soca in the background?
No, it's just an alarm. Are there any other comments on 3.3? No? Okay. So 3.4, communities needing ID and support. Tijani, please go ahead.
Yes. So what I said in my email, the previous email to Andrew, and what I put here in my comments, I fully agree that the promotion of the underserved language is a noble objective that I support, fully support. But this working group doesn't have this mission. This working group has the mission to support needy applicants. So I think that what was said in the milestone report was good, and now we need to find the mechanisms as it is asked in the charter, in the new charter, point issue number K. We need mechanisms. We don't need to add things for the bundling, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay, but Tijan, you understand this is part of the criteria mechanism. It is one of the aspects that is going to be considered along with financials. So I do see some value in refining what is there in the milestone report, but maybe not repeating, as you say. Andrew?
Tijani, I hear what you're saying. We made a conscious decision to include a group that I worked on and that you worked on somewhat, and Eric and others, and Sintra and Carlson, specifically looking at this issue over the course of the last 6 months. I think that we made an affirmative decision by dint of the establishment of that working team that we were going to look at this issue and include it. The time, you know, if we had made a decision that we didn't want to move forward with it, then the last 6 months of the work we wouldn't have done. So my sense is that this falls right out of the work that we've done on the milestone report, and frankly that this is important. I'd like to address two of the issues in terms of the things that are placed in red there. One was related to the issue of the ccTLDs. I think that while there's a lot of progress that's been made with the ccTLDs, it is clear that there are some real limitations, including some limitations posed by the strength organization and the effectiveness of some governments around the world. So that's one thing. The second thing is in terms of the underserved communities, the whole purpose of this is to try to make it possible for two classes of people that we've talked about and that we've got language around. One is communities that have a two-script identity like French and Arabic in Tunisia. And then the other one is groups that are going to have their languages that are unlikely to ever be built out because they are small. And those are both ways of addressing the digital divide and addressing the needs of communities. So I think it hits our core straight on. But we've got it's already in our report, effectively. So I think that we can get metrics around what qualifies as an underserved community pretty easily. I don't think the CCs will do it just on their own. Thank you.
Petra?
Yes, Rafi?
We still have 2 minutes in the call. I think it's time to...
May I just take Tijani's response to this? And then it will be, you can take over from there.
Yes.
Okay,
yes, it is not a response. It's only to say that supposed to do is to do the issues of the charter, the new charter, and then the charter. They say we have to find mechanisms for the IDNs. It is not to rewrite the milestone report and give more reasons for bundling, etc. I don't find that we are doing our work. I find that we are rewriting the milestone report in another way, and I don't like it.
Okay, fair enough. Rafiq?
Okay, think we have only 1 or 2 minutes to finish this call. Let's now to agree what we will do in the next call. I saw that Cheryl suggested that we start off from the 3.4. I think that we don't have any agreement yet in this point. And in the meantime, I would like to ask people to continue commenting in the wiki, so it will be more easy for the editors to compile comments, and then we'll have updated document for next time. Any suggestion for next call that can be added to the agenda of the next call? Okay. Hearing none, and Andrew, please go ahead.
Rafiq, this may or may not be an appropriate request, so you can take it or leave it. I will be away for a family thing on, and will be unable to be on the call on Friday. And given that this 3.4 is an issue of great personal interest and one that I've been working on running the work team for, if there's any way we could push the discussion of that specific issue to Tuesday, I'd be most appreciative. But I'll be away from. I won't be able to be on the call on Friday.
Okay. As you was leading that, you are leading the team about the IDNC board, so it's better that you should be present when we are going to discuss. So, okay, we can start from the 3.5, and then we can discuss about the 3.4 in the next Tuesday call. Sintra, any comment?
Rafiq, I'm sorry, I don't want to take too long. I just want to agree with Andrew, simply because IDNs are part of our new charter, and I don't think it was discussed in the level of detail that it requires to be discussed in the milestone report. So I do think that maybe perhaps next week, Tuesday, we can really spend quite some time just discussing IDNs for that point alone, because it is now part of our charter. Thank you.
Okay. So anyway, I would like to ask again people to make the comment about the specific point in the wiki. So for that next Tuesday call, but for Friday, we will start from the 3.5. Okay. Any other comment? Okay. Thank you. Thank you for attending this today call, and this call is adjourned. Bye bye.
Bye.
Very productive call. Thank you all.
Okay.